Amen. So the prayer, of course, for those of you that know, is a modified hymn. God be with you till we meet again, which has been my prayer during these times of rapid, baffling, confusing change. A person named Jeremiah Rankin wrote this all the way back in 1880. These words today resound perhaps ever truer in the year 2020 than I've heard them before. Last night on one of our senior social media pages, we began asking what people needed, and most of it was simply solidarity for the grief that they have felt in not having the goodbyes, the last experiences. A tennis player saying, "I didn't know this was my last tennis practice." Choir saying, "I didn't know this was our last performance." The reality of these times is that we didn't know it was our last until it was all gone. So what we pray is not a swift return in an unhealthy way, but rather the trust and the hope that God will be with us until we meet again. I'm particularly struck as the appointed text for today, for last Sunday, which is what we always do, having last Sunday's text be for our Wednesday services, is one where Jesus has to go through Samaria. It is not presented as an option or an opportunity, but verse 4 simply says Jesus had to go through Samaria. What's it like to have to go somewhere, particularly in an era of social distancing? I'm struck by this, I think, because so many people still have to work. Medical professionals, first responders, postal workers, relief workers, people whose hourly wages, especially elderly folks or people with immune system deficiencies, are afraid to work but need to work simply to survive, to feed their children. So they go to kitchens to cook or buildings to clean to get enough money to pay their rent. This is a different social distancing than is talked about between Jews and Samaritans in John's gospel. So I doubt that it's the reason that Jesus had to go through Samaria, but it does tell us clearly that Jesus had to go. But the similarity, I think, that is common is that for Jesus to go through Samaria, to have to go through Samaria, means Jesus had to take great risks. Samaritans and Jews were mortal enemies in the first century. Each was certain they were God's chosen people, and each was certain that the other people were most certainly the absolute worst. They weren't at risk of sharing a virus, but Jesus was at risk of becoming ritually unclean, which is a phrase in the Hebrew Bible that means tainted with things that are not holy, not of God, and therefore not appropriate to be with God's people. So if you became unclean, you couldn't worship. If you became unclean, you would make others unclean if you touched them. Social and physical contact with a Samaritan would make Jesus ritually unclean, and yet he had to go through Samaria. So why is it Jesus that starts the conversation with the Samaritan woman? Why is it Jesus that invites the kind of touching that sharing a drink of water would entail? Because this woman's hands or her bucket or her ladle would have been unclean for Jesus. Jesus had to go through Samaria, had to take a risk to bring new and abundant life to these Samaritans in the same way that he brought it to Jewish communities and in the same way that he brought it to Romans. Jesus had to go because Jesus had a message meant for all people of health, of vitality, of resurrection. But it's important to identify the kind of risk and to compare it to the kind of risks that we might be tempted to take in the coming weeks. For Jesus, this wasn't a purposeless risk. It wasn't just, "Oh, I'm bored, so I'm going to go through Samaria." That doesn't seem to be Jesus' emphasis. The mission of God, rather, was at the heart of Jesus' need to go to Samaria. It was missionally driven. It was purpose that led Jesus to go through Samaria. And similarly, Jesus wasn't risking the wellness of others when he goes. Jesus is risking his own ritual uncleanliness, his own quote-unquote infection. He entered the place as the vulnerable one, at the mercy of Samaritan religious and political power. The risks of the gospel, in other words, are personal risks in concert, in alignment with the mission of God. So I'd encourage you to think about that as you think about the risks that you want to take in the coming weeks. I worked from home all day yesterday, and yes, my cabin fever was at 10,000%. It's not easy to experience the social distancing. But the reason we do worship this way, the reason we continue our small groups digitally, the reason that we continue to emphasize this community is because social distance does not have to mean social isolation. That being physically alone does not mean we have to be alone. When I was a college student, our Thursday night worship experience at Ashland University was called The Well. In fact, I believe it is still called The Well. Based on this scripture, we would read it at least once a semester. And we would talk about how this woman has an encounter with Jesus, how this woman experiences Jesus as God's messenger, and how she then responds to God's presence. As followers of Jesus, I think this is a helpful model for us to follow. We come seeking encounter with God, to experience something wonderful, holy, divine, and then to respond to it in worship. Right now, I know it's hard to imagine your encounters being the same. We're here with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So at least 30% under the 10 people maximum. But this is not our normal feel for worship. It's not our same experience. Our responses now certainly look different. Sharing prayer requests digitally. Trying to grow our community through new Bible studies on GroupMe. Trying to remind seniors that their transitions are not forgotten, even when we can't shake their hand as they walk across a stage in May, but hopefully soon after that. My encouragement to you is this. Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman was also something entirely different, unexpected, abnormal, rare. It was not what she expected. And yet out of it, she finds abundant and everlasting life. I don't expect this to be our normal way of gathering. In fact, I hope it is not forever. But as we know it is for a time, may we enter God's presence expecting to encounter and experience and respond to God in new and surprising ways, following the witness of this Samaritan woman who didn't let Jesus go. She kept saying, hey, I've got another question for you, and then another question for you. And by the way, you seem done talking, so one more thing I'd just like to ask you real super duper quick. May we have the tenacity, the perseverance of this woman who saw the gospel in a strange and surprising way, and embraced it with love and with hope, the way that Jesus ultimately embraced her. May we look forward to embracing one another again in body, but until then, may we embrace one another in this way for the coming days. Before we go to our hymn of the day, I want to take a moment to recognize a particular group of our students whose lives were changed, and all of our lives have been changed. But in my heart this week particularly has been our senior athletes whose seasons were abruptly ended. And long before we decided to move classes online for the rest of the semester and postpone graduation ceremonies, to change the formats of research symposiums, We committed to pray for these athletes by name. So we're going to do that because I can't imagine what it's like to prep for this last experience, this last hurrah with your teammates, and then feel so disconnected nearly the next day. So if you would, please join with me in prayer, praying for our baseball players, for AJ and Ben, for Andrew and Shane, for Bo and Connor, and for Alex. For our softball players, for Morgan and Hannah and Corey. For our golfers, Nick, Ryan, Vince, Alyssa, Carrie, and Sydney. For our lacrosse players, Tyler and Talbot, CJ and Nick, for Noah and Carter, Adam and Connor, Sam and Luke, Taylor, Katie, Brianna, and Catherine. For our tennis players, Mackenzie. And for our track and field athletes, Christian and Emily, Cassie and Taylor and Olivia. Lord God, we pray that you would be present with all of us in this transition, but especially today, we pray for these athletes who have lost that connection, that season, that chance to represent their university. So we pray that you would remind them of our deep appreciation of the work they put in, that you would remind them of our solidarity with them, that your spirit would be with them in a way that strengthens and sustains them in the coming days. Help us all to find compassion for those who have lost things that we can't imagine losing. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We continue.